Pastor Bronk, my good buddy. Come on up.
Hallelujah. Who did that? That was not there this morning. Hallelujah. I love the way the Lord finished up that last prophecy by Pastor Jim, and definitely it was from God. But, you know, God doesn't speak in Elizabethan. He speaks in our language. And the Lord just reminded me of Forrest Gump. And it was like, and that's all I got to say about that right there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just welcome Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, because I think they're watching tonight. So praise the Lord. Did y'all all lie before the Lord this afternoon? I mean, not tell lies, but I mean you lay down and, yeah. I want to exhort you just for just a few moments. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 36. This is one of my all-time favorite giving scriptures in the Old Testament. Your pastor, if you come here to this church, recently did a series on the prosperous. I think it's entitled The Prosperous Christian. It's third or fourth lesson in, and I was listening, and he was using this particular passage of scripture, and I just love it. We're just going to read down through, I think, verse 6, but let's just start at 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Now this is the Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. So they're trying to construct this, and the Lord is giving wisdom to certain men to help Moses in the construction of the tabernacle. And verse 2 says, and Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had wrought or brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings. Everybody say free offerings. Let's say it again with some strength. Free offerings. There you go. Every morning, and all the wise-hearted men, or the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man or woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Hallelujah. Everybody say too much.
Too much.
A couple things here that I want us to note is one of the things that you repeated with me when I asked you to is that this was a free offering. And free meaning that there was no stipulations, as in, you're under the law. If you don't do this, there's a tremendous penalty for it. I mean, you're going to get penalized, or there's some motivation by which these people, all the camp, however many there were, a couple million maybe, and they were bringing all this stuff. And not only were they bringing the stuff, but there were certain people of skilled labor. We would call it vocations today. And they were bringing their skilled labor in to work their work. And these two men that which we named here, or the word names, were in charge, and they were bringing it so much so, and all this stuff, and the stuff was not only, if you read through all this, you know it was not just stuff to make certain articles, but they had to have gold, and they had to have silver, and they had to have overlay for the Ark of the Covenant, all that stuff. So there was, in the stuff, there was what we would call money. There was plenty of it. And it came to the point where Moses constrained the people because there was too much. Hallelujah. Now, saying that, I will say this. I have never yet been in a meeting, or in my church has it ever come to the point where I've ever said, look, folks, we've got so much that I would just really rather that you didn't bring anything else for offering. I've never been in a conference where that I've ever been asked to speak that somebody got up, and Pastor Jim hasn't asked me to get up tonight and say, look, this morning we got so much, it not only met our needs, but it met our needs for the next 10 years. There's too much. Now, how many of you would like to be in one of those kind of meetings? Hallelujah. I mean, where it was just so much that by Wednesday, you know, we just said, look, the conference is met, and the next 10 years of vision for this ministry is we don't even know what to do with the money that we've got so far, and so there's too much. Don't bring any more. That would be nice, wouldn't it? That would be fantastic. Well, one of the things that solicited this was the essence of a free offering. It was because of their heart. Now, I want us to look just quickly, and I say quickly because I really want to hear the lesson tonight. Let's go to the counterpart, the New Testament counterpart, and that's in Acts chapter 4. So turn over with me to Acts chapter 4. You know, we live in a day and hour. It's when I heard Pastor Jim talk about this morning, all the different motivations for people's giving nowadays, and you know it as well as we, as well as pastors, if you're brave enough, and thank God we've received some exhortations to tell us, look, better be careful what you watch, better be careful what you're listening to. But if you're brave enough every once in a while just to say, my God, what is out there, and you see it, you say, my God, the gimmicks, the false promises that are made. There's every kind of offering that is possible. Let's give a Christmas offering. Let's give a, because you're going to be blessed. Let's give a New Year's Eve or New Year's offering. Let's give a St. Valentine's Day offering. Let's give a St. Patty's Day offering. The more green you give, the better you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory. So the motivations are there. I mean, the gimmicks are there. They're there for sure. But let's just look at chapter 4. Let's look at verse 32 together. This is almost the counterpart of what we just read in Exodus. This is after, of course, the day of Pentecost. All wonderful things are taking place. Verse 32 says this, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, everybody say great grace. Again, with a little more authority. Great grace. Hallelujah. And great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them which lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Now let's stop right there, and that's enough on that. This is the same in essence, even though we read something out of the Old Testament, and we don't normally typify that as grace. That's usually law. But grace is personified in this, or brought forth in this, is that when the people were released and said, you know what, just give what's in your heart. Whatever is in your heart, if based on the love to them, then it was the tabernacle. They were free. They had just got free from the bondage of Egypt, and they were so happy. They were so happy to be free. Now, for us, Egypt typifies or symbolically is the old life. It's sin. It's where we once were. How many of you would say, I can remember, especially those first few weeks, first few months, and I hope it's carried on, the joy that you felt once the burden of sin was gone. Can you wave at me? When you got born again, many of you cried for weeks, many of you cried for days, many of you laughed and cried. But there was a joy there, and there was a joy in the essence of the heart of the Israelites to say, we're free. This is it. Here, in what we just read here in the New Testament, the Bible says there was a great grace that was upon them. And if you read this as well, if you read one, two, three, four chapters up leading up to this. Contextually, there's no place where you see a solicitation from the apostles that says, this is something you need to do. It just kind of just springboards in this chapter here, and all of a sudden you see the heart of the people just bringing this stuff. When we read this word, or these two words, great grace, it's sandwiched in between a power that is being given to the apostles to witness the resurrection. And when it says here, great grace, this was not just great grace for the power of the gifts and the witnessing and the solicitation of the harvest. This, it says, and great grace was upon them all. And then it goes right into talking about them bringing all this stuff to the apostles. The church, Pastor Jim started this morning and said something that's just really profound but so true. He said the church at large is in trouble. And it really is. It's lost the great grace. The great grace here, you see, simultaneously was not just in the working of miracles. It also had a great grace in the plan of God to facilitate, to give. And the people weren't saying, the apostles weren't saying, bring it. It was the Holy Spirit that was just bringing that great grace. Now, we understand as we read through the New Testament that for us, grace is something that is far more than just, it's far more than just unmerited favor. I heard a spirit-filled Greek scholar break it down, and he said grace, he defined the word, he said grace is this, it's two parts. It is the definition of the fundamentalist that says it's unmerited favor. It does have that part to it. But it's also the part of imparted strength. It's his strength. It's his strength for your weakness. And so what has happened, not only in the diminishing of all of the foundation in the church, of the teaching of righteousness and holiness and all those kinds of things, and what, as we heard this morning, what the radical grace message has diminished in the church as far as proper Christian living. Not only has that diminished great grace, but great grace has also been diminished in the hearts of true believers because of gimmicks, because of things that were never, ever part of God's plan. God's plan was his grace, not only in power, but his grace in also our giving. Two last verses of scripture that I know that you love as well. 2 Corinthians, turn there with me. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. I promise this. Okay, I think I can make this promise. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Go to chapter 8. Read verse 9, and then we'll read one other verse, and we'll be done. I think I can get permission from Pastor Jim. I'll ask him from the pulpit. You should never ask from the pulpit. Pastor Jim, if we get too much this week, will you allow me to stand up and forbid the people to bring anything else?
Sure.
Okay. We've got it from the top. Hallelujah. Glory. Sure. Hallelujah. Listen, we understand where your heart's at because we understand where his heart was at. Look at verse 9 of chapter 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now look over in chapter 9, next chapter over, and look at verse 8. Okay. And God is able to make all grace, everybody say all grace, abound towards you, that ye, okay, let's say it together, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Hallelujah. You know, the one that we serve as our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't just meet the need. He's not just the one that's sufficient. He's more than sufficient. If you look at his example, he not only fed the 5,000, but there was leftovers. If I go to your house, now listen, now please, if don't get offended. If you come to my house and I invite you over, I guarantee you that there's going to be a half a dozen pork chops left. There's going to be some you can take home. There's going to be some meatloaf you can take home. If I cook hamburgers for you, I'm going to make sure. We're not going to have all our individuals, and I'm going to be thinking, I hope they got full. If I invite you over, I'm going to send you home with a doggy bag. That's just who we are. Hallelujah. Jesus sent everybody home with doggy bags. 12 baskets, 7 baskets. He is the God of more than enough. He's the too much God. Hallelujah. And he'll supply that too much for you until we get to, listen, not only is great grace coming back in the doctrinal teaching, line on line, precept on precept, to where we get to where he wants us to be, where we should already be, but along with that, everything that he wants to fashion in truth concerning giving, because the church can't do it with gimmicks. It can't do it with gimmicks. It's got to be through the free will, great grace. Amen? Yeah.